Chapter 7. Communications. Introduction. Communications refers to the exchanging of information, orders, intelligence, requests for assistance, and other messaging that occurs within any organization. Underground operations, including coordination with the armed, auxiliary, or public components, cannot occur in the absence of a communications system. Underground communications are characterized by their usually clandestine nature due to the need for security. As with much of its functionality, the underground must balance its need for communications with the risk of exposing personnel, plans, and facilities if messages are intercepted. The underground's communication system evolves along with the insurgency or resistance itself. At first, communications typically lack rigorous discipline and uniformity. As the movement grows and operations become more complex, successful undergrounds develop secure, redundant systems for communicating. To avoid presenting an easily defeated pattern, the underground will build a system of communications using various and diverse means: face-to-face meetings, couriers, mail, dead drops, radio, cell phones, the internet, and social media, to name a few. When the movement grows, both in numbers and effectiveness, so that the government's countermeasures increase in sophistication, the underground must respond with the use of codes, frequency-hopping radios, spread spectrum, and other measures to secure their communications. The rapidly accelerating rate of technological change in the 21st century creates a sustained conflict between insurgents and the government over the battleground of the electromagnetic spectrum. Within that context, various communications tools and media may favor the insurgent or the counterinsurgent. Non-technical communications. While some undergrounds operating in modern countries increasingly rely on technical means for communications, all such movements employ non-technical means as well. Such methods have the advantage of leaving no detectable electronic signature vulnerable to interception, but they can also risk the physical security of the messengers, both leaders and couriers. Non-technical means of communications include face-to-face meetings, the use of couriers, the mail system, and so-called dead drops. A dead drop refers to the use of a secret location where messages, money, or supplies are deposited for later pickup by another agent. The advantage of a dead drop is that underground personnel, or the auxiliary or guerrilla they are communicating with, do not have to physically meet. Typically, an underground operative will drop the item at a prearranged location and then display some physical signal that only the other contact or his or her organization would recognize. The signal alerts the recipients to the fact that an item is ready for pickup at the dead drop site. Non-technical means of communication can be among the most secure methods as long as the personnel involved are not at risk of government surveillance. Successful undergrounds carefully manage the use of these methods to ensure discipline, proper security precautions, variation in drop sites, meeting sites, or mail addresses, and when necessary, counter-surveillance. Critical messages, such as emergency warnings to other units, must get through with speed and certainty. Undergrounds therefore use parallel communication nets. That is, an important message is sent by two routes in order to ensure delivery. For less vital messages, the underground uses a backup system. The message is sent, and without immediate confirmation that the message arrived, another message is sent through a different channel. In all clandestine operations, acknowledgement of the receipt of a message is crucial. If positive confirmation is not received, or if there is considerable delay, the underground must assume for security reasons that the message has been intercepted and that the network may be compromised. In that event, the fail-safe principle is applied. If a message is believed to have been intercepted, members who are most susceptible to compromise either prepare cover activities or proceed to some safe house and await events to determine whether the ring has been compromised and whether it is necessary for them to use an escape and evasion net. Parallel communications are important because it takes considerable time to set up a communication net in a hostile environment. Every effort is made to have alternative means of communication available in case there should be a breakdown in any one channel. In Malaya, the Communist Party of the 1940s and 1950s was forced to rely entirely on runners to deliver messages, and this constituted one of its major handicaps. A message may go to one address, be picked up by a courier and delivered to another place, and thence be delivered by another courier to the recipient. In this way, the message moves through a chain-like system of mail drops. Obviously, for routine messages, it is advisable to use mail drops or couriers because they ensure the security of the various units. Emergencies may require that the message be sent directly by courier or by technical means. Technical communications. Undergrounds, as well as their partners within the auxiliary and guerrilla forces, frequently make use of radios of all kind, from ultra-high-frequency radios to ham radios to citizens' band radios. Although radio usage can be fairly easily jammed, intercepted, or exploited for direction finding, radios are cheap, expendable, and do not require traceable accounts like telephones. Insurgencies and resistance movements operating in permissive or semi-permissive environments or in areas in which opposing forces lack effective signal intercept jamming equipment can make very effective use of radios to coordinate operations. The emergence of cell phone technology throughout the first decade of the 21st century has added a new dimension to communications among resistors and insurgents. From the start, some analysts have pointed to the undeniable fact that the cell phone can assist clandestine operations and exacerbates insurgencies. There is, however, evidence in the opposite direction as well, demonstrating that counterinsurgents can benefit equally from the use of the cell phone and that an insurgent's use of the device frequently leads to intercepts, monitoring, and key intelligence finds. Iraqi insurgents operating in the aftermath of the American invasion 2003 through 2011 made frequent use of cell phones in planning and coordinating attacks against coalition forces and other targets. Cellular devices were used not just for communications, but also as the triggering devices for improvised explosive devices. The irony was that the United States sponsored the construction of numerous cell phone towers throughout the country, which were then used by insurgents against American troops and officials. At the same time, cell phone intercepts also served the needs of the counterinsurgent. Cell phones played a role in the American targeting of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi and later Osama bin Laden. With widespread proliferation of cell phones, the population can anonymously phone in tips and alerts when they observe suspicious behavior. Resistance and insurgent movements that operate in urban environments are more likely to be able to exploit cell phone technology than those in rural environments like Afghanistan. Indeed, the Taliban were known to shut down cell phone towers at night in order to prevent their use in facilitating American operations. Urban insurgents in Iraq not only refrained from destroying or shutting down cell phone towers, but also, in some cases, threatened or coerced commercial companies to maintain the towers because they were so useful in insurgent operations. Thus, both the insurgent and counterinsurgent must analyze the situation to determine the advantages and disadvantages of cell phone systems. Like the weather, cellular communications may favor either side in the struggle. With about one-third of the world's population able to use the Internet, computer-based communications methods have begun to impact both insurgency and counterinsurgency in the modern world. The Internet offers the insurgent the ability to use email, chat rooms, blogs, and other forums, both for propaganda and for direct messaging. Operatives can capture digital video imagery, upload it within minutes, and broadcast it around the world almost instantaneously. This new capability has completely undermined the traditional control of information that tyrannical governments have exploited in the past. And because Internet usage is either free or fairly cheap, underground operatives can use it instead of having to pay for printing materials or delivering messages through physical means. The Orange Revolution in Ukraine that unfolded from November 2004 through January of the following year featured perhaps the first widespread use of the Internet to help foster revolution. Web postings, combined with the use of cell phones, bolstered ever-growing crowds protesting the rigged elections in Kiev. by using technology that could not be easily interdicted or controlled by authorities, the crowds organized demonstrations, sit-ins, and strikes to compel the government to annul the suspicious election results. The outrage felt in the streets of Kiev found an international audience through the new technology, and the result was the deposing of a tyrant in favor of Viktor Yushchenko. 4 years later, popular resistance in Moldova capitalized on Twitter, the internet-based social messaging service. Angered by perceptions of fraud in parliamentary elections, citizens erupted in demonstrations and rioting in April 2009. They used Twitter to incite unrest, provide updates on protesters' actions and the government's reactions, and appeal to the international community for help. The protesters used hashtags to group messages under popular headlines, such as hashtag PMAN, which stood for Piața Marii Adunării Naționale, the name of the biggest square in Moldova's capital of Chișinău. The use of the messaging service was so influential in the unrest that the incident became associated with the so-called Twitter Revolution. Later that year in June, the Green Movement in Iran, an abortive attempt to overthrow the government of President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, made effective use of Twitter and YouTube to garner international attention. The amateur filming of the shooting death of a young woman named Neda Aga Sultan appeared on Facebook and YouTube and incited outrage both within Iran and around the world. Protesters even conducted denial-of-service attacks against government websites, prompting the Iranian government to shut down internet access. As the massive unrest continued, the government also shut down or limited cell phone usage and reinstated internet access with low bandwidth to try to prevent video footage from being used. The conflict saw both sides very determined to control cyberspace for their own purposes, and both the government and the protesters demonstrated growing technological sophistication and innovation in their attempts to thwart each other. The Arab Spring of 2011 likewise featured widespread and effective use of internet-based social media to bolster insurgency. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and other services were used to publish protesters' propaganda, pictures, and video. Through such methods, leaders could recruit sympathetic sectors of the population to participate in demonstrations and strikes. Because the younger generation is more likely to use social media, they responded more readily than the middle-aged and elderly. Mohamed Nabous, a Libyan businessman and technologist, established an internet television station that he named Libya Al-Hura, Free Libya, in Benghazi in February 2011. Able to thwart government attempts to shut down his broadcasts, Nabous found a worldwide audience and contributed both to the growing insurgency within Libya and to international outrage and eventual action from NATO. He was eventually shot and killed in a gun battle, but his efforts helped propel the anti-Qaddafi forces to victory over the tyrannical regime. Likewise, social media played a significant role in the unrest in Egypt. Google executive Will Ghonim used his expertise in internet marketing to create an insurgency group under the banner We Are All Khaled Said, a reference to a recent victim of torture and execution by the Egyptian police. He and others used internet resources and cell phones to incite flash mobs and other demonstrations that attracted international attention and ate away at government legitimacy. The combined power and ubiquity of the insurgents' message through global media influenced political leaders in the West, including in the United States, to pressure President Hosni Mubarak to step down. Insurgents and terrorists also employed the internet in attempts to demoralize their opposition. Videos of successful ambushes or sniping often appear on jihadist websites and other venues in order to encourage fellow travelers and to demonstrate the resiliency of the resistance to the enemy. Government officials tend to ignore or downplay such propaganda, but popular reaction is often much more pronounced. Insurgents can use such techniques to stimulate a sense of hopelessness within enemy populations in the hope that the citizens will in turn influence their governments to withdraw. Social media can provide citizens with the opportunity to participate in an insurgency or revolution from relative safety because they can enter the fray without leaving their homes. Recruitment, financing, training, propaganda, and even intelligence operations can take place in real time and attract a disproportionate audience within cyberspace. Thus, the dynamics of internet-based social media and the cell phone have demonstrated the potential to revolutionize the business of insurgency and counterinsurgency. The resulting technological conflict accelerates innovative workarounds such as bouncing, in other words, posting material on multiple servers in different locations, and the use of messaging technologies that defy attempts at governmental control. Because social media is, by its very nature, decentralized, its usefulness in reaching and mobilizing masses is not equaled by its utility in planning and controlling the day-to-day operations of an insurgent movement. It is easy to reach out and recruit a young enthusiast into the movement. It's much harder to direct, control, and discipline that person and make him or her useful. Classic Maoist insurgencies focus on tight control by a well-organized and powerful central group of leaders. But modern communications may serve to undermine and replace that approach to organization and leadership. The Arab Spring movements in Tunisia, Libya, Egypt, and to a lesser degree Syria fostered a new enthusiasm for the potential of social media, in part because the insurgents were young, internet-savvy people fighting against old, traditional dictatorships. Government attempts at disinformation, particularly in Libya, Egypt, and Syria, came across as ham-handed and clumsy when compared with the skill with which the younger insurgents mastered their internet resources. But as the technology continues to grow and penetrate further into all sectors of the world population, governments will likely catch up and come to view social media as the effective tool or weapon that it really is. Conclusion. Undergrounds must employ effective communications to survive and grow an insurgency. They must communicate with members of the underground, the auxiliary, the guerrilla forces, and, when applicable, the public component of the movement. In addition, they must be adept at communicating their messages to the outside world and even to the government they oppose. Over the past 40 years, computers, the internet, cell phones, and social media have combined to revolutionize communications. Insurgency and counterinsurgency now play out in a radically different context than their Cold War counterparts experienced. Mastering the new media, as well as the older non-technical forms of communication, is a sine qua non for success in the modern world. Because the pace of technological change is likely to increase, modern insurgents and counterinsurgents require new skills and mindsets with regard to the means and methods of communications.